Opa, Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Chinese skater on the outside. Oh, and it's a lot of contact. Oh, all gone down. Bradbury is going to come through and win gold. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
They're standing and they're applauding that dramatic performance by Jane Torvill and Christopher Dean.
Alex Bilodeau. It takes a lot to make him happy, and he is clearly pleased.
She's up. She's moving nicely. She's got it.
Yes!
Sally Stegall, 132.67, has won at least the medal. She's 0.24 up. Yuki.
On the ice for the Gimlet. The Gimlet stopping. Cindy Crosby, the golden goal. These golden games have their crowning moments.
It is Off the Podium, an Olympics podcast coming to you today for an opening ceremony review, a redux, and I don't know why I didn't do it when we did the Rio redux a couple of months ago. We should have played our original introduction. I just played our Pyeongchang introduction because we had an introduction for those Olympics. Hello, Sai. So why not bring that back? And I just sighed in the fact that I did that. Thank you, Colin, for that lovely little joke. We are here to review a opening ceremony we've already technically reviewed at the time it happened. 6 years have passed, and this is what Andrew Hedges stupidly drew for us when we last
wouldn't let us get away from is more like it.
I know. Maybe we'll rig it a little bit more today, but I'm actually weirdly excited to talk about this one again because maybe it does take 6 years and a second viewing to appreciate something. I'm not too sure. We will find out how we all feel about this one today, including from the following gentlemen, because unlike the last time we did this, we're only men today. We're being sexist. Speaking of sexist, this man doesn't know the meaning of the word. It's Colin Hilding. Hello, Colin. You're a very anti-sexist because you are married.
Yes. Only married people are not
married
sexist.
People can't be sexist.
You guys disgust me, okay?
Thank you for that, Colin. Jared, welcome, and you don't disgust me. You're the anti-disgusting one on this show, so welcome back.
Good to hear. I feel the same as you. These reduxes are going down well. Aging wonderfully, these opening ceremonies.
They actually are. And like I was just talking to Colin off air about that. I listened to like the opening 10-15 minutes of our original episode that we did back in 2018. And I for some reason thought we all came on going like, this is rubbish, this is shit. And we were like kind of in the middle, I feel. And like I just very briefly listened to some of our initial thoughts. I didn't go through the whole thing of it. But yeah, it's interesting to hear those reactions at the time. And then you sort of remember it as being bad. But then, yeah, kind of rewatching this, I'm like, well, I mean, this isn't Sydney. This isn't London. This isn't Vancouver. But like you're kind of like, well, this isn't that bad. Like, it's actually got some stuff. And maybe that just comes from the fact because Beijing and Tokyo were shit. I don't know. Maybe we're going to re-watch them soon and think, wow, they're brilliant. Treadmill guy. I don't know. Colin, I'll start with you. Initial opinions on this rewatch of the Pyeongchang opening ceremony.
Yeah, I only really had memories, not even so much of what we thought in 2018, but a lot of the years since when we've looked back and been like, oh, the last, you know, even semi-decent ones were probably Sochi. The last really good ones were Vancouver or London, Vancouver. And I think it's just that time period we're in. We were coming off of Rio. We're also in this new era where so much of it is projection. Mm. You know, it's not necessarily like the classic opening ceremonies, but maybe because it was using a lot of this new technology that since then has been done far less effectively, we've downplayed how much more effectively it was done here. And this is probably a scenario where Beijing and Tokyo enhance this a little bit because we still have a lot of the real spectacle with actual stage performers and things like that that maybe I'd forgotten they had a lot of them, Pyeongchang's, because I really enjoyed most of this. I mean, there's definitely some complaints that I have, but for the most part, I think this holds up way better than I expected it to.
I think there's just many yeah, modern elements to this, which I think maybe they went too far with Tokyo and Beijing. And again, I guess you can't really blame Tokyo and Beijing. They were the COVID Olympics, both of them. So therefore, they were limited, particularly Tokyo. But yeah, I think kind of maybe that tainted our opinions of this, because when we did the Rio one, it wasn't the greatest opening ceremony, but I think we all were on the opinion of, oh, this held up a little bit better than we thought. Jared, you seem very much on board with this, that this is a better opening ceremony than you remember from 6 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Colin hit the nail on the head that this walks, I think, the middle ground well of that, you know, classic stage elements and projections and like augmented reality. Like this is the, I think, yeah, looking back, this was kind of nice. It gets kind of both, and I think it's done really well. And I think, yeah, we've kind of pushed too far into that projections and technology side of things, where this kind of, yeah, I think it hits both notes really well and has that kind of classic feel while also feeling modern at the same time.
I will say this is the last time we're doing one of these opening ceremony reviews before Paris. So this is the last time we will get to talk about a classic opening ceremony. The next time we do one of these, we would have seen the Paris opening ceremony. And I know our hopes and dreams of a great opening ceremony, every time we've done one, we've gone, oh, it's going to be good this time. And it's slowly gone down. But Paris, hopefully, it won't take us 6 years to appreciate. But anyway, we'll see how we go with that. If you're tuning into one of these for the very first time, how we generally go over these, we separate it into four different sections and we give each section a score out of 5 individually. So we do cultural, the parade of nations, the cauldron, and then speeches / other, kind of the traditional elements of it. And I want to open up the floor to whoever jumps in first here of where we're going to start. Go!
Culture.
All right. Thanks, Colin. We're going to start with the culture of Korea.
I wish I had a buzzer. I could have buzzed it.
We need a buzzer. Next time, get a buzzer, Colin. Why? Jared's got a buzzer. He just was being polite. Jared's always got a buzzer and prepared. So we'll start with the cultural elements. So this is obviously all the bits where you learn about where we're at. Now, we've obviously just had the Youth Olympics earlier this year, and we're all pretty high on the opening ceremony for the Youth Olympics. We were all, I think, saying, oh, it was better than the one in 2018. I don't know about that. I mean, they had that in the freaking ice hockey hall, didn't they? The speed skating hall. This at least had a stadium, which doesn't exist anymore. But hey, at the time it did. So I think this, I found this very interesting, this culture, because again, this was the key one where it was like, okay, this held up more than I remembered. So we had the standard kids like Yippee, here's Jenny, Jimmy, Jack, and Jemima. They're off for a lovely day in Korea and, you know, stealing the Nikki Webster model from Sydney, of course. And through this, we get a journey of them on a boat. There's an old man. There's drums. There's giant surangs and boorangs. There's fireworks. There's lots of, like, visuals in the lead-up of how great Korea is. Then these kids grow up. Now, this is one of the criticisms Jared, you had when you first watched this about that they grow up and then they returned. So I want to see if you've held on to that opinion. We find out what they do in the future. And then they come back and they dance with Just Jerk, which who doesn't want to dance with Just Jerk? Better than doing other things. We've also got cool Olympic rings on the snow. There's fire. There's drones. There's a lot of visual effects that nobody in the stadium saw, only we saw on TV. Also, apparently the Russians hacked this opening ceremony, by the way. I don't know if you read that on the Wikipedia page. So there's a fun fact. It was like, this is that real, what we're just talking about. It toes a line. Like, you've got some cool elements, like the drumming's really cool. The closing bit with Just Jerk and the fireworks and the sparks, and it's visually amazing. And then you've also got these projections. But to me, it looks amazing, but then there's elements where it's so empty. You've got like four kids in a big white circle with some projections on it. When it's not doing it properly, it's just a big white circle. It's empty. Like, they need more in there. So I'm going to be very intrigued around the scores of this, because there are two things that I loved. One thing that I absolutely loved, and then one thing I absolutely hated that brings the score down. So you've got the closing bit with Just Jerk and the sparks and everything was incredible. It looked absolutely amazing. And also we'll add giant real-life surang or boorang, whichever one it is.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like that? But then imagine. This is the one that's brought it back in the modern day. Now, I want to bring this up separately because I thought this was the one that started this trend, because we saw it in Tokyo, we saw it in Beijing. I did a bit of digging into this. This is actually an element to the Olympics that started way back in Atlanta. Stevie Wonder, in the closing ceremony, sang Imagine, right? So they were like, oh, this is pretty good. So they brought it back in Turin in 2006, sung by Peter Gabriel. Sung, yeah, exactly, Colin. Your man, very Italian, sung it. Just like Ricky Martin closed the Turin Olympics. The Italians had no singers available. They just stole everybody else's. And then London did it. And then they brought it back for Pyeongchang. So this isn't the beginning. It's the beginning of the modern trend. So my way of saying there's some great stuff, there's some weird stuff, there's some missing stuff, and then there's Imagine, which we just all roll our eyes at. Let's start with you, Jared.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with like a lot of the points. I think like the giant puppets were amazing. Give me a giant puppet in, you know, any opening ceremony, and I'm a fan. The fact that it was a mascot as well, bonus points. We had kind of the nightmare fuel of the man slash bird yes. going on, which I was like, God, I don't know. But I was here for it, but it was so weird. It had like the classic elements too in terms of like the choreographed drumming was giving like flashbacks to Beijing, obviously not on the same scale, but still I think anything with just like a mass of people doing something in sync works well. And I think what they hit really well throughout this was the length of each of the segments. It didn't feel like anything particularly dragged. The one thing that dragged for me was the pre-recorded video cutaways of like the kids doing stuff. I'm like, I don't know why we need this. And that really bugged me this time. It didn't annoy me that they were back to being kids again. The kids actually in general didn't annoy me as much. Maybe I'm like more used to it. You've because grown. Now that's what we get every single time. I did think they lucked out that all these kids in the future turned out to be superstars because it really would have been different if they're like, and now so-and-so, they're homeless, and this person's jobless, and so-and-so's just not here. They died young, so they're not in this future segment.
I was going to say that because, like, I'm thinking, like, they are very lucky that, you know, what they're, like, neuroscience, AI builder. Like, I just wanted to be like, here's K-pop superstar Jenny, here's neuroscientist Johnny, and Jake died of leukemia. And then we just move on. And nominations.
Johnny's packing fries in the food court. Go see him on your way out.
And Sam committed mass murder and is currently serving a maximum prison time in a maximum prison sentence on the North Korean border. And now the countries.
Yes, I thought like it was good throughout. I appreciated more this time, kind of the like IT segment and the tech segment. I thought the light tower was really cool. I actually even enjoyed like the cutaway to like the slope and the drones. It made me want some form of synchronized skiing or snowboarding as like an Olympic competitive event. Like I'm on board for that if we can get that in the future. But I'm so with you that Imagine brings this down and it brings my score down so much.
And it was a terrible version. It wasn't even good. They couldn't sing.
No. And in general, I hate that song. I feel like the only time you should be using it is like London, I can excuse because it's like, okay, like this makes sense. It's John Lennon. He's from here. Cool. Perfect. But here I'm like, surely you have your own peace song throughout the history of South Korea. There's got to be some song that loosely sings about peace that they could have done. Even if they'd sung it in like Korean instead of English, it just frustrated me. I'm like, this is your chance to show off your culture and you're singing a song in English. It's not from your country and is like the most cliche peace song we can possibly get here. It felt contrived. I feel like the other moments of peace in the ceremony worked, like the whole like unified walking out and all this other stuff. Like, yes, it was token, but I feel like it worked. But this, I was just, it kind of ruined like the opening ceremony for me. And similar again, like I feel like I was going to be super, super high with the score and this kind of shifted it back a bit.
Let's be honest though. I mean, it was kind of Korea who ruined the whole releasing of the doves, considering they burnt about 500 of them in the Seoul opening ceremony. So they kind of had to, like, you know, shift focus on that. But yeah, I don't dislike the song Imagine. It just is wanky, and it's at that point now where it's overused. I'm glad you mentioned the IT section because I forgot about that. That was fantastic. And here I was thinking, like we said in our initial review of this 6 years ago, that did we learn anything about Korea? Well, they're bloody proud of their IT, and so they should be, because, I mean, you know, they've got apparently some of the fastest internet in the world, and here they are showcasing it with these cool boxes and lights and everything along those lines. It was epic. Colin, you're in IT. This made you probably want to move to Korea, right?
What I found interesting about this, I would have loved if we could have done Seoul and this back-to-back, just to see that they're not so much showcasing just their ancient culture, which is what we usually get in these opening ceremonies. The idea of them going in the future, I was kind of like giggling at it as soon as it started. But then I'm like, well, this is actually a very cool idea, because they're showing how far they've come as a country. And I don't think anybody in 1988 would have expected a very technologically advanced, you know, showcase of culture that was pretty accurate. I mean, I'm sure, you know, some of the stuff that they're predicting, I'm going to wait for all my artificial intelligence robots and stuff like that, Simpal Cindy's to show up, you know, for whenever Pyeongchang gets their next Olympics in another 20, 30 years. But it's a cool idea. And it was an easy story to follow, too. And even just the technology they're using to present this was very cool. Like, I loved when they had, like, the dance sequences that they were, everybody's like in a revolving doorway or something like that. I don't even know specifically what it was supposed to be.
Just
that jerk. Looked great. The fireworks, you know, all this, like, there's great synchronization between everything. And using the drones is a very cool idea. I have some criticisms of it, though. For one, I love that they are learning from their mistakes of Seoul. Let's not use real birds this time. Let's not let them near, no flames. I don't even want a drone flying into this thing. That's going to be bad memories for decades to come. But the commentators had to tell you it was drones. And this is where it kind of gets ruined by Tokyo and Beijing since then, doing this type of like projection and holographic stuff and a lot of post-production. They're not in the stadium. And anybody in the stadium, anybody watching on TV, unless your commentators are going to tell you these are drones, you think this is just some, you know, CGI effect or a holographic image or something like that. Seeing everybody skiing down the slopes was fantastic. You know, the drones and them making the symbols, that was probably the best single visual of this entire opening ceremony. But your the commentators even said on this, like, well, this is the one part that's been kept secret. Like, how is this pre-recorded? Was this happening live? We don't know. This isn't like a broad daylight thing where everybody could turn around. And even a lot of the fireworks, like, I was wondering, I'm like, can't you have some fireworks right above the stadium? All the fireworks are like, I don't know, like, you know, half a kilometer away on either side of the stadium. And I got to wonder if anybody's sitting in the stadium, are they even going to see this? So those things took away from it a little bit. Although the idea of using the drones, if they had done this, you know, maybe broad daylight, that would have allowed you to see and appreciate a little bit more. But a lot of the other stuff we get, like the puppets especially, I'm completely with you, Jared. I love the puppets that they used. The drumming segment was great. And also the holographic smiley face that appeared and just kept changing faces, that was really cool. Overall, it was nice to see somebody not just saying, this is our past culture. Let's watch a lot of boring segments of children fake rowing across the stadium on some motorized boat, which is what we get every opening ceremony. Using the futuristic stuff, it told an interesting story and it showed us, okay, this is a country that's come a long way since 1988.
Basically, Sydney and Athens ruined all future opening ceremonies because it's like, oh, little kid. And then Athens, oh, a real boat. And it's like, oh, okay, let's like make it this way. I'm with you.
Only you could get a real singer to sing Imagine.
We get a real singer in this, don't you worry. We'll get to her. But I'm with you with the drones and I mean, that's cool. But like, you've got this cool slope thing in the stadium. We saw in Lillehammer what you could do with a real slope. This is something that if they did that in the stadium, like, that's an extra point right there. Like, that looks cool. I mean, Turin, from memory, has the speed skaters with the flames coming off the back. And they've got a freaking Formula One car doing donuts. Like, I mean, I'm trying to project these out into the universe where Andrew Hedges can hear me, that we get a 2000s opening ceremony next time. But, like, yeah, it's cool, but you're right. Like, this is all stuff that's done not there. I mean, I know opening ceremonies are for TV. Every athlete you get on this show, every expert will say opening ceremonies are done. Rick Birch said it, you know, they're done for TV. They're not done for the people in the stadium. I get that. But that is something that is a bit annoying. And also the fact, too, that when we get, like, the visuals of the stars above the circle, that's all projected on TV. That's not even drones. That's just special effects. So, yes, Colin.
I agree that, you know, obviously it's made for TV, but we're watching this on TV and we wanted to see something a little bit more real. At least I did. Mm. And you don't have to have them ending up in the stadium, even, or you could have them end up in the stadium. This doesn't have to entirely be in the stadium. Why not just have these drones at the end land right in the middle of the field? And then it at least tells everybody this is something real without the commentator having to tell you that. And it connects it so you're not thinking this is just some pre-recorded segment that we stuck in the middle of the thread.
It would have been around about 2018. I can't remember what year Lady Gaga did the Super Bowl, but she famously stands on top of the stadium. She's got the drones above her with the American flag, the visual of her jumping into the stadium and then performing. Nobody said that that was pre-recorded or anything until like a day or two later. Like at the time, the TV commentators were like, oh, this is real. Look at Lady Gaga. Look what she's doing. And then like they did it in a way where it was like, oh, this looks amazing, only for it to be revealed later. Like, yeah, these commentators, and obviously we're watching the YouTube, like we're watching the international feed where we've got the Aussie guy, the Canadian guy, and the Scottish lady. But yeah, like it's unique and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, I'm very intrigued with the score because I'll start with mine because I initially had this at a 3.5, but then I'm like, imagine you go down to 3, like you ruin it. But then Just Jerk came out and then you got these fireworks and all this kind of cool stuff with sparks on their head. Like, I mean, we had breakdancing. We had freaking breakdancing in 2018. This is forward thinking, Pyeongchang. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. So this is my second. This ties with Calgary. Still Lillehammer tops my highest culture with a 4. But I'm giving this a 3.5. I think it's just above Rio on a Redux. So I'll go with you, Jared. What did you give it?
I have given this a 4, and ooh, I was very close. Like, I was going to give it a 4.5, and then Imagine came on, and I was like, nah, you don't deserve it. But yeah, very high on this, on a rewatch.
Wow, so you've tied this with Lillehammer, and you gave Rio a 4 actually too on a Redux. There you go. Colin?
I'm completely on level with Ben. I've got this at a 3.5. I debated putting it up to a 4, but Lillehammer is just still so much farther ahead of this. I have to have some separation of the scores. Imagine taking that out, this might have at least been closer to getting a 4, but it does detract a lot. But it's the one time where I feel like you really ended on the best part of the cultural representation, you know, the fireworks dancing. That is how you highlight a show, even though the commentators kind of screwed this up when they're doing, we'll get to the torch lighting, where they said this is our last performer for the little figure skating thing. And then all of a sudden you have this big, massive climax to your show. They went out on top, which I think helps it maintain a higher score.
So your second highest, just a half point behind Lillehammer, and you put this just above Rio. I mean, culture, we're still, I mean, when I say we, I'm speaking on behalf of you two, me, still very pissed off that we never got Psy in the opening or closing ceremony. Although we kind of did in the opening ceremony, which I forgot. Which, when we get to that part, you saw how the crowd reacted. Imagine if the real Psy was there. So that's still, to me, the biggest thing that they missed out on here. Jared, you can choose now. Where are we going to next?
Let's go to the speeches.
Yeah, get them over and done with. Yeah, I don't know, have a lot to really add to this. There's one element which I do, but the commentators, I've just put this in the other section, but I love when their long-winded introduction at the beginning when they're like, oh, and this will be the most important Pentagon in the world for the next 2 hours. I love how they basically tease the fact that we're going to get a lot of the mascot in the opening ceremony. And I was like, I'm writing that down going, if you fucking are lying to me, and they weren't. So that was good. I don't get why we had, so generally when you have the Olympic flag come in, that's when you've sort of got like, what, your 6 or your 8 prominent athletes or Olympians from that country, right? That's kind of like, if they're not going to be carrying the torch, they're going to be carrying the flag. But this was the first one that I remember where you've got them carrying in the country's flag and doing that too. Like, generally it's only the Olympic flag, right? Like, so this was unique that Korea were like, no, we've got lots of people, so we're going to do 2. Mm. Which I did have to laugh, though, that when they're going through the people and they're all like, oh, and here's, you know, athlete A, champion speed skater, champion this, and here's athlete C, the coach of the Korean golf team. And everyone's like, oh, yes, Korean golf coach. And then when it came to the Olympic flag, it's like, oh, and he's iconic Korean speed skater, iconic Korean skeleton racer, and promising figure skater.
Yeah.
Promising K-pop star. I don't know. I have nothing to really add on the speeches. I mean, I'm Thomas Bach, but like at the same time, I'm just getting nostalgic because like we're not going to have this anymore in a couple of months. And he's still got that weird like noise that he makes in between speeches. If you put like, so he's, he'd be like, yes, and welcome to Pyeongchang. And then there's silence and you kind of hear this like, like, I just don't know what he does when he's talking about it. It's like a little dinosaur. The organizing committee guy, I believe what the Aussie guy was telling me that he was saying, he took a while. Like, this guy's speaking in Korean for like, yeah. okay, yeah. What's he saying? And then all of a sudden the Australian goes, oh, and this is the organizing committee. And he's saying, welcome to the games. I did love the athlete's oath when they were getting frustrated at how long it took for them to be able to say it, because they had to, obviously the announcers were doing everything in English, then Korean, then French. They were taking their sweet ass time, because you saw like that one guy's like, oh, for fuck's sake, let me read the oath. I've got an Olympics to get to. But the star of all of this, the goddamn soprano singer, holy shit, like I want her to sing everything. The Olympic anthem, that is, I think, the best I have ever seen, with the light show up the ramp as it's going up, and oh my god, that saved it from a very, very low score to a slightly low score for me. So, Colin, I'll start with you. Basic stuff here, except for the soprano singer. I want her to sing everything.
I'm going to be the defender of this one. I feel like the speeches have never been better than this for a couple of reasons. First, I'll talk about the flag. So I wondered, and I've wondered this in past opening ceremonies, like, do they use wind machines? Because you see this flag that's like completely flat. But then there's other parts during the ceremonies where you could see like giant gusts of wind. Now if they're using the wind machine, though, you could see as this thing starts to fly, and then as soon as they cut to the wide shot, it just goes pew. It completely loses its momentum the very second that you zoom out, which let your wind machines blow for a little bit longer. The operatic singing, it was definitely the biggest they've ever done, this Olympic anthem. But here's a couple of reasons why I love the speech. First, watching this entire opening ceremonies, I don't know if I've ever seen Thomas Bach as happy as he was here.
I'm taking a selfie.
He's got like the biggest smile on his face, you know, the entire time. He looks genuinely happy to be there. Having them go through the athletes, like shaking hands, like, hey, how's it going, guys? Oh, nice to meet you. I love that little intro as they're coming down. And then even seeing the athletes behind them, like, this is so much better than when you see just, I don't know, like they usually have maybe a couple of people behind them. Now we got an entire crowd behind them. And these people, you could tell they felt so awkward they were on camera. None of them looked like they were paying attention to speech. They're just like, okay, please, I hope I have nothing stuck on my nose right now. You've got people who are putting on hats, and then like 10 seconds later, they're taking off the hat. I don't think it's a good look on camera.
Did you see the mask? Precursor to the pandemic, just saying. This is 2018,
this guy's way ahead of it.
Yeah.
There's people who are adjusting their glasses. There's people who are fixing their hair. Like it broke up the speeches, which can be dry sometimes because you're watching all this stuff going on in the background and people just looking incredibly awkward. I love that. And even the speeches themselves, like everything was quick to the point. You know, they're kind of saying the same things. There's a lot about like Korean unity and everything, but I don't know, the speeches just felt different and there seemed to be enthusiasm and energy behind it. But, yeah, hands down, what makes this to me is just being able to watch these people in the background not wanting to be on camera and having to be on camera.
I mean, that's a good way of putting it. I enjoyed that. And there's like one person in the background just casually just waving the little Korean Peninsula flag every now and then, holding it up going, look, Korean Peninsula. Yes, that's we're not unified, but we are for the next 2 hours. I did love Thomas Bach, though, when he was basically like, yes, and you must be clean. No drugs. Olympics.
Like, hold on.
Like, I mean, again, we saw it with Juan Antonio, his excellency and his beautiful fashion that we've seen him wearing before back in Sarajevo. And we haven't done a Jacques Rogge Olympic yet, which, you know, rest in peace to him as well. But I mean, I love you, Thomas. You really like, you just, sorry, hang on. Let's correct ourselves. Olympic champion fencing. We haven't done that at all. But like, Lord, just get some energy in your speeches. Like, it's frustrating. I want the flyback.
I want to add something. This is the first time where I've watched one of these opening ceremonies completely with like the entire family in the room. Like, I just need to watch this. The kids are all playing and everything. When we get to the parade, there's definitely a lot more involvement from the kids. But as Thomas Bach's coming out, I'm just like, kids, you see, that's Thomas Bach, Olympic champion, fencing, 1976. And I just kept saying it over and over again. And I'm trying to get them interested in it. And all they kept saying is, I want to watch Thomas and Friends Christmas. I want to watch Thomas the Tank Engine. So I had to stop the opening ceremonies before we got to the speeches, before we got to Thomas Bach, because all I was hearing about watching Thomas and the Tank Engine's Christmas, so I had to put on the DVD and then come back to this a day later.
You know, you're giving me an idea now after Paris that once he's retired, he could, like, take over Ringo Starr and, you know, instead of being like, said the fat controller, like, said the fat controller, he's like little Thomas Bach face. He's a train. Choo-choo-choo-choo. Hello, everyone.
He's been auditioning for how many years now?
You know, everyone's, like, going on about Bluey at the moment because of whatever aired last night, Jared. I have no idea what the hell it is. I don't have children. Oh. But the thing is now, screw Bluey. I want Thomas Bach and Friends. Like, dun 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 dun. Olympics. You could have the fly that was on the thing. Like, I mean, it sells itself, right? Thomas has got a job now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speechless. Jared, speeches. Thomas and Friends.
I feel like these were all okay. Again, like, it could be nostalgia. I feel like this is kind of one of the shorter speeches Thomas has given us. I agree with you. It's weird during, like, the Korean speech for them to wait so long to give us the translation. I truly think, like, the Aussie guy fell asleep and someone had to give him a nudge to get started.
They're literally making it up at this point. They're talking about unity in Korea and stuff.
Well, he disappeared during the Parade of Nations. He had shit to do. He wasn't even there. He left it to the Scottish and the Canadian.
I had to give him something to do. I think here, like, the star of this, like, whole segment is, like, singing the Olympic song. The, like, opera is just so good. I'm so glad that we got something other than the children's choir and they used that for the Korean national anthem instead. I don't want a children's choir singing the Olympic anthem moving forward at all. This has set, like, the bar, and I don't know if it will ever be beaten, to be honest.
Oh, so good.
The lectern has to get a shout out here. Probably the best looking lectern we've good seen looking, in the Olympics.
Yep, I agree.
4 out of 5 if we're ranking lecterns here.
Yep. When are we doing that? When are we ranking the Olympic lectern?
When is that?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that in August? Is that after the closing ceremony? Should we lock it in?
100%.
Sydney, overrated. Really great opening ceremony, but the lectern let ourselves down.
Let down.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, overall, you know, speeches and speeches. This was very middle of the road, but I feel like nothing stood out as too wrong with these.
Hwang Soo Mi is her name. Just wanted to give her a shout out. I mean, goosebumps. Absolute goosebumps. She was absolutely incredible and just amazing. The best by far that I have ever seen doing that. And I think the Beijing one a couple of years ago was pretty good too. I think we all remember praising that. But I mean, just so good, Colin.
I don't know how long the Olympic anthem usually is. Like, what's the standard length for it too? And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm saying it in a good way. But, like, doing this operatic version, I swear it doubled the length of the song, which is a good thing. Because, like, anthems are very quick some of the time. Like, sometimes you get, like, these, you go to a sporting event and somebody's like, oh, Canada. Like, it didn't feel like they were drawing this out. It just felt like it was like the big, you know, sweet version of the Olympic anthem.
Colin, you can rate this first.
The only thing I could say as a downside to this is that it didn't have Juan Antonio. So I can't give it my highest rating ever, but I'm still going 3.5. I really liked it.
Ooh, ooh. Jared, this is, I feel I'm going to be very low on this all of a sudden.
I gave this a 3.
Oh, wow. Okay. So hang on. 3.5. Is that what you said, Colin?
Yeah.
So that ties Calgary and Lillehammer for you. A 3, Jared, which is your third highest? Fourth highest. You tie this with Munich. You're very complimentary on the speeches, Jared. You don't really often give a low one. I'm only going to give it a 2. I don't know. Like, I just... Sorry. speeches weren't amazing. I mean, I just...
Justice for the lectern, honestly.
Well, I mean, it might have got a 1.5. I don't know. You brought that up, so you gave it a 0.5 for it. But, I mean, I'm honestly saying 1.5 of this is just for the singing, for Huang. I wasn't a fan of the double flag. Like, do you have that many people you need to carry two flags and like that? Dragged it out a bit, Korea. So, you know, and where, if you're so about unity, let's have a North and a South Korean and let's do this or that. Where were your great North Korean athletes coming in? Like, you know, and here's, and according to the North Koreans, 87 times gold medalist. did definitely won all the gold medals at all the Olympics. Colin, parade or cauldron? Where are we going next?
Parade.
Yes, my favorite. I just got to say right now, this is maybe, and I'm not saying maybe, I'm looking at my scores right now. This is the best Parade of Nations we have covered. This, amazing, because this is where they really brought the stadium into it. So I think that kind of the visual aspect of the stadium, the way they had all the projections, had those little square things that were obviously in front of the crowd. And a lot of, I think it was Colin, you mentioned in our original review of this 6 years ago that you couldn't see the crowd, so there was no atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I'd probably agree with that, but I think at the same time, they kept pointing out it's only got 35,000 people, which for a Winter Olympics, I think, is actually a decent-sized crowd, to be honest. It's probably what the Gabba will be in about 8 years' time, if we even have the fucking Olympics anymore, based on how they don't have a stadium. I think we're going to be having in our backyard, Jared. I think Brisbane just needs some help with that. But like, I think those boxings and the way they projected the countries, and we had little Surang waving every time on the projections. Surang welcoming the athletes out. Surang doing Gangnam Style. If that doesn't win this whole thing, nothing does. And that's just the fun parts of it, because the music was great. As soon as Gangnam Style came on, everybody lost their shit. And of course, they played that when the Americans came out, so the Americans would go on gangbusters. The uniforms were amazing. I was thinking, like, everyone's wearing puffer jackets, but they were all bright and colorful. Mm-hmm. We had our Tongan friend. We had New Zealand wearing Colin, you said a bear skin when we did this 6 years ago, but I'm going to apply it with something more Maori-esque. We had just so many great things. Was it Ghana were like the second country out? And they were straight away. Like,
dancing.
Ghana loves it. Everybody loves it. The Mexican flag bearer had a sombrero and a freaking, like, just Mexico winning everything. Oh, I loved it. And Surang was in the background. He was there every time waving and freaking Gangnam Styling. This, by far, was the best one we have done out of all of these so far. Jared, I really hope you and Colin agree with me, but I'll start with you, Jared.
I do agree. I think this was great. I feel like not only was the atmosphere good, but this had a lot of countries and they got through it like in a reasonable amount of time. I feel like too, the size of the arena like worked for this.
Mm-hmm.
I love too the fact that it's probably like that we didn't miss countries. We didn't get flashing to countries that were halfway around. Like, I feel like they showed everybody come in and I was like, that's it. We're not showing you again. We're not cutting back to you midway through. Like, this is your moment out in front of everybody. And then like go around the circle and we'll see you like in a wide shot, but we're not getting another close up of you. I agree with you. Like, I feel like the outfits were great. The music was amazing. The volunteers being like so switched on and energetic throughout the entire thing, I think helped as well. And like you say, like Gangnam Style, everybody just went off. Jamaica and Iceland as well with like their choreographed dances.
Yes.
The Kazakhstan flag bearer highlight as well alongside the Mexican. There was just so much good stuff here like throughout. And the fact too that this is before we get like the dual flag bearers apart from like Canada and obviously like unified Korea was amazing as well. I was like, oh, this is so refreshing to see people able to wave the flag around easily and it not be awkward. And the dual flag bearers here, like both of them made sense.
Yeah. Scott Moore and Tess Virtue off the podium zone for thinking. Everyone looked like they were having fun too. Like when we did Munich last time and it was very march-based and yes, we're doing that gesture, which is why we don't do video episodes because people take it out of context. But like it's everyone was having fun, like all the people. I mean, Mike Pence was having fun and he was Donald Trump's vice president. I mean, God, he was thrilled to be away from him. That's the first time you've ever seen Mike Pence have fun. It just, it was exciting. And again, I just want to put out, Soorang was doing Gangnam Style. Like, I mean, the Paris has a lot to live up to. We talk about lecterns. I want Thomas Bach floating down the Seine going like, hello, Olympics. It's like, speak up, Thomas. You passed your Eiffel Tower. I want the Frieges doing, I don't know, Gangnam Style's a bit dated now, probably dabbing, or I don't know what the dance craze is at the moment. Like, a lot to live up to based on that. I will add, too, Colin, before we go to you, though. Yeah, obviously, we had Scott Moore and Tess Virtue, Canada's. My good friend, Scotty James, now. I met him once, okay. But Scotty James was our flag bearer for Australia. I didn't mind the Australian, like the silver puffer with the green pants. It was decent. Jared, just quickly, any comments on the Australians coming out?
Yeah, it was. I think, like, it wasn't a disaster, which is the main thing we look for when the Australians walk in. We're like, don't be a disaster. I think always like a yellow puffer hits the best for like Australia. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to do it, I think this was like a nice like in between, like good color choice and kind of prediction for, I think, like not being too full of yourself, like the Swedish guy in the gold jacket coming in a bit too much. Like he like, oh, we'll settle for a nice silver.
I didn't mind that though. That was very like.
Oh, it looked good, but yeah. it's very presumptuous to walk in with like a gold jacket.
True. Actually, before Colin, I go to you though, and this, I'm not going to mark this down because obviously we're watching the world feed. So the thing I appreciate about the commentators of a world feed, that they're obviously a world feed, so they're going to be very middle ground. It's not like if you're watching Channel 7. I kind of wanted to watch Channel 7 coverage, Jared, to get my Edwina Bartholomew vibes and my fights from 6 years ago going on there. But, like, they're very neutral, right? So they're not exactly going to be like, oh, here's the hidden camera of Australia, still 5 metres around the path and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We've still got a freaking Rafael Nadal mentioned, though, funnily enough. But I did laugh, though, like, the Canadian guy, like, literally everybody. And that person competed at the Youth Olympics in Lillehammer, like every second person. And I love that there was one there. I can't remember who it was. The way he worded it was something along the lines of, and there's Jack Smith, great Finnish Nordic combined, competed in Sochi in 2014. And here he is in 2018, where he will compete in Pyeongchang 2018 Winter Olympics. I'm like, really? Shit. And then I can't remember which one of them said when Australia came out, and here is Australia. And they will be competing in all the sports at these Olympics. I mean, I forgot how well our ice hockey team did in Pyeongchang. Our Nordic combined athletes, weren't they amazing? And our ski jumpers, one sport we've never actually had. Apparently, we've had them. So go us. Fantastic. Colin, your thoughts.
First of all, I thought that there'd be a lot more talking up the Australian outfits from you two, because I don't have an official rankings, but I had three standout outfits, and Australia made my three standout outfits.
The silver, like the silver was like, I don't know, it was nice.
I thought it looked amazing. And my other two were Ghana and number one, hands down, San Marino, they brought it. Oh, those guys
they always
great.
Do. The Olympics, Eurovision, it doesn't matter. San Marino are always there and they're doing their thing.
This was a lot of fun to watch. And that's unusual because when we're going through these, so often it comes down to everybody's wearing the same thing. But there was variety. There was variety with colors, you know, and there was a lot of bright colors, but not like flashy, blinding bright colors. And even just the timing was so precise. And that's something that I've never realized has to be done right in these parades in order to not drag down, because they're doing something similar to what we criticized during the Youth Olympics, which is here comes a country. And now we have about half a kilometer gap before the next one starts. And yet they still can't get it right. They allowed countries to come out. I swear it was like down to the exact millimeter, the distance you have to be, which is just enough time for commentators to move on to the next country. So you have one country off camera just as the other one's coming in. That was done so well. And just the fact that all the flag bearers were the ones who got to do something a little bit different. And it wasn't always distracting. Yeah, Tonga was doing something very different. You know, New Zealand was doing something very, very different for their flag bearer. But I think with Slovenia, they came out and their flag bearer just had like a flag sticking out of their collar. It's like it's growing out of them, which everybody's just, let me do something to distinguish ourselves. The star as far as the flag bearers to me was Iran, the female flag bearer they had for Iran. She came out, she had tears.
She's crying.
You could see the tears
rolling
rolling down her cheek. That was just amazing. And then some of the dancing, like Ghana and Jamaica, of course, they both did a dance when they came out. Like, let's stop for a second and then collect our thoughts. Casper really added to this. He is like obsessed with geography right now. He's also obsessed with the United States of America, which sadly started during the Pan Am Games.
Defecta. I think we talked about. Defecta.
Yeah. But he's always like, Casper wants to see America. And now he's telling us that we have to go to America on what he calls America Day, July 4. I may have to go there now. He's very into them. Some of the countries that he specifically said, and I wouldn't put it past him that he actually has just stared at a globe for long enough that he memorized these countries because he got all the pronunciation right. Every time a country came out, he'd be like, Casper loves China. Casper loves Kazakhstan. Casper loves Kyrgyzstan. Casper loves, the only one he butchered was Hong Kong. He called it Hong Kong, China.
King Kong, he's Kong a big, versus Godzilla? Great movie.
It then evolved into when Russia came out in Japan. He goes, Casper loves to go to Russia and Japan on an airplane. Can we go to Russia and Japan on an airplane, Daddy?
Does he have a phone? Do you need to check his browsing history? I feel like in these countries that he's, I love Russia. I love China. I love the United States. What's his thoughts on the Israel-Gaza conflict right now?
I don't know. Casper Loves Countries is a better. I feel like that would have been a better piece segment they could have used for the opening ceremony rather than Imagine.
Can we do that for the Paris opening ceremony? We just get Casper.
Oh,
on?
Oh yeah,
like this Absolutely. Week on Casper Loves Countries.
We've got a new podcast, Casper Loves Countries.
His thoughts on East Germany. The Berlin Wall. I got to just quickly on Canada, though, because it's all forward thinking to have, you know, Tess and Scott doing that. But just reviewing the footage here, I think, you know, Tess just took over. Scott's kind of just hanging back going, hello. And Tess is like, yeah, I've got the flag. And Scott's just like, oh, shit. She's like, yeah. So it wasn't really dual flag bearers. But I got to say, I do like the basic Canadian outfit, just the red sort of puffer jacket with the word Canada in the middle. I mean, it's basic, but this was, what, the second last one that the Bay would have had because Beijing was the first one, Lululemon. Which are they back for Paris, Lululemon?
I haven't heard yet if they are. I mean, everybody seemed to love it. They couldn't afford it, but they love it. Anybody who actually makes, I don't know, $500,000 a year was able to buy the jackets. I'll add to that. I spent the entire time Canada was out actually telling the kids, can you spot a deferral of points sister? It was like, where's Waldo? I was like, where's the deferral of points sister? Never spotted them, sadly.
And Jamie's gone, Colin, let it go. Come on. Speaking of let it go, I did like the Frozen-esque sticks with the country's names on them.
Oh, yeah.
But I also did love, like, they were in like an elf suit and then the little kid standing next to it with like a lantern. And I got to say, like, as much as sometimes I like kind of like, I think I talked up Rio with like, let's plant a seed, like, okay, cool, whatever. And that sort of stuff. Sometimes it's nice to not just have something wanky, just like, just fucking come out and bring your stick and bring a kid with a lantern. But the volunteers again, though, like around that circle, they're dancing, they're swimming, they're whatever. I mean, I really do wish the camera people showed more of Surang, but like you could like, and just that moment when they started playing in Gangnam Style, like we complained so much about No Psy, but they missed a trick with this because literally as soon as they started playing, that's the one time you heard the crowd, like that and Yuna Kim, which we'll get to, like they're the two times you heard people cheer. They started playing Gangnam Style and everybody went off. And this was 4 years removed from Gangnam Style. So amazing. So good. Jared, you can start off with. No, Colin, you haven't ranked first yet, have you? Sorry, Colin, you ranked first.
I love this, and I'm going over my rankings for past parades, and this is one where I don't think any of us have really been kind to them. And I wish that Rio had a shot after Pyeongchang, because so much the problem with Rio was just that timing and it going way too long, but there were interesting ideas there. But this is easily giving me my top one right now. I'm giving this a 4.
Ooh, okay. I'll go next. I'm giving it a 4.5. This was nearly perfect. I really didn't see much wrong with this. I just, you know, but I don't want to give it a 5 because I feel there are 5s out there. But maybe we have to revisit. Maybe we have to do a redux of a redux. But yeah, my previous highest actually was Rio at 3.5. So this is now highest of the 4.5. Jared.
I'm with Colin on this, a 4.
Oh, there we go. So we've all given it our highest. Look at this.
I don't want anything given away, but are we are we getting close to Lillehammer territory here for averages? Like, is something up in the, is the cauldron going to make or break this?
I mean, as of now, Lillehammer ended with 44.5. And of course, our unique scores are out of 60. And right now, it is sitting at a 36. So it's 8.5 behind. And the cauldron isn't bad either. So, or maybe it is. I don't know. You two think about it. But let's get to the cauldron. So, I mean, we start with, like, kind of, you know, your standard montage of, hey, look at us go with the flame, which I didn't mind. Like, you know, it's not too bad. And also, just quickly, the time of we're recording this on a Monday night. We're releasing this on the Friday. And if people are wondering why we haven't commented, the Australian team are releasing their opening ceremony uniforms this week. So the time you're listening to this, 2 days afterwards, the time of recording this, I'm going along to launch. I'm hoping to release an episode on that day. So it's a weird context that we haven't advertised anything. So, Jared, weren't they great or weren't they shit? Cool. And secondly, I believe that...
Are you under like an NDA right now? Like non-disclosure?
I have seen them, but I'm not going to comment on them. I mean, by the time people hear them, they would have seen them. They're not bad. They're standard. They're just Australian blazers. Cool. But...
No gold blazers.
Tune into what we said 2 days ago from that special episode. We're 100 days to go. And the other bit is I'm pretty sure this week the torch starts for Paris. So this is why I'm kind of putting this into this. So if people listen to this going, you're not commenting on it. That's why we're doing a news episode next month so we can be a bit more relevant. Anyway, the long-winded way of me getting to this point, we've got a great montage of them travel around the country. Lots of people smiling, doing that annoying heart symbol to the camera and great. And then we get to people running in the stadium, which is great. And then, you know, it sort of gets to the point where it's like, oh, here's your two ice hockey players and unification, woo. Like, I don't mean to be disrespectful the way I say this. I talk to Noah a lot. He lived in Korea. That's my Korean knowledge. Basically, from what I gather, Koreans don't actually want to be unified. And again, if I'm speaking out of turn, I'm sorry, but from what I know, I'm pretty sure they don't want to be unified. So I don't get why they have these big symbols of, oh, unification, because it's 6 years later. Have we gotten any closer to unification? No. Like, I loved it when they come out to the stadium and the commentator's like, oh, and Thomas Bach would love this because when he competed in the Olympics, he was part of separate nations and then they obviously came back together. So future.
What year was that where he was Olympic champion fencing?
1976.
Oh, that's right.
So 14 years removed, right?
I haven't heard that in a while.
No, me neither. But like when they say like, oh, this isn't the first time. Because I remember in Sydney was a big deal that both North and South Korea marched out together.
I think it's in North and South Australia.
Well, they hate each other. They'll never mark. They'll watch out. My point is, it's all well and good to be a bit wanky and, oh, symbolism, yeah. But this, like, I'm sorry. If you put Israel and Palestine marking out in Paris, not changing anything. Ukraine and Russia, not changing anything. Point is, it's a bit wanky, but it's nice. So I'm thinking like, oh, did they light the cauldron? I don't remember these two people. So they're going up the stairs. It's awesome. Lots of steps. We like good steps. We've always ranked steps highly with visuals. But then just as you think it can't get any cooler, here's freaking Yuna Kim just doing a routine at the top. Amazing. And then she grabs it. Grabs the torch, like she politely takes it. She's just like, give me the torch, you North Korean scum. Burns her, kicks her down the stairs. I would watch that. Then she lights it. Not only does she light it, we're thinking, well, she's a bit far away from the cauldron. Here comes old alien arm, robot arm, to take the fire up to this cauldron. This is the last epic cauldron we've had at the Olympics. A robot arm lights it. Poof, fire, fireworks. Epic. Love everything, dude. The only thing that would have made this better, if Yuna King did like a triple axel and lit it in the middle of her jump. I would have paid to see that. Colin, notes. Anything else to add?
I love the montage for two reasons. I would say one reason, but we got two robots in the middle of a torch relay. First we get the robot actually carrying on its own. Then we get a mecha suit. Like Pacific Rim style, somebody sitting in the top of this thing. Like, that was amazing. The handoffs from one to the other was great. Although I do have to question, this is where the commentators kind of ruined it for me, because you have the guy, I don't remember what his sport was. He was a soccer player or something like that.
Oh, the World Cup guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's basically the one at the bottom of the steps who hands it off. And the commentators are like, and he scored the winning goal and then he lost his job. Now hand it off to the next person. Let this guy, the homeless, jobless. I want this guy to be the guy lighting the cauldron. Don't set up this guy. Let's feel sorry for him and then hand it off to two other people. They got their whole futures ahead of them. Okay, but then you get, now we're going to have North and South Korea joined together. And that makes sense. Yes, it's cool to have a little figure skating routine at the top. Yes, it's cool to have, let's have our most famous athlete. Somebody, she was still competing in Pyeongchang, I'm assuming.
No, she'd retired, I think, after Sochi. But I mean, like, as said, she's, I mean, I think we all know who Yuna Kim is, like arguably one of the most famous Korean athletes of all time.
Yeah, so you're handing off one to the other, but I just feel like they got the order wrong. Like, if you're going to do this unification thing, have all three of them do it together. How about that? Mm-hmm. We've got our most famous athlete with these two athletes of North and South Korea together, do it all three together. I am going to be a little bit critical too of the robot arm. I like the idea of it, but did they get this design out of a 1950s sci-fi movie? Like, it's like,
who
this
cares? It was brilliant.
Like, it was either like a Dalek horn or it was like the laser from Goldfinger.
It's a penis.
Well, it was like Goldfinger, like it's got the spiral thing. Like, just simplify it. I think why I'm more critical of the robot arm is because everything else here, especially technology wise, looked so advanced. It looked so sleek and so simple. And this was like really cheesy sci-fi robot arm, and it took me out of the moment to what otherwise would have been this epic moment.
I will add though that not only does a robot penis slash arm come up, as Yuna Kim lights it, she's got it in like the Fortress of Solitude from Superman, these giant like you know, spiky ice cubes. There's sparks going off like she's Britney Spears or something like that. Like, it just, it adds to the whole element to it. And again, this is the whole element of the last two Olympics we've had. Beijing, worst cauldron of all. Wasn't even a cauldron. It was a stick holder. I can't even remember Tokyo's, but it wasn't that special from memory. So, like, it comes to the fact that this is a proper cauldron. It's like a little UFO with, like, little legs sticking out of it, you know?
The cauldron is amazing.
It looks epic, right? Epic. And also, I want more, like, famous athletes lighting the cauldron doing their sport. Like the archer in Barcelona. We had the ski jumper in Lillehammer, which we said, you know, would have been better if he lit it, right? Kathy did a bit of a jog when she lit the thing. You know, like, I want athletes doing this. Like, Naomi Osaka should have been hitting a tennis ball in Tokyo to light the cauldron, right? Like,
Giant flaming ball of fire with the tennis racket.
I want our famous French handball guy, when he lights the cauldron in Paris, to, like, spike the handball. They don't spike it, that's volleyball. Throw the ball of fire to the Eiffel Tower. Woof! Olympics. You know, Brisbane, when Stephen Bradbury picks up the torch from Kieran Perkins, he's skating through, poof, LA. I don't know.
Ugh. You've ruined Atlanta for me now, because who cares about Muhammad Ali? Those gloves should have been on fire, just punching that flame.
Don't get me started. Lazy Muhammad. You should have been punching the crap out of that cauldron. LA, Simone Biles, off a vault with a poof. You know, like, come on, get creative with it. Sorry, Jared, I'm taking away from your thunder here for the robot penis.
I'm so down on this compared to the. I think Jared. Both of you. I just wanted more. The steps. I liked it more when it was. I thought they were going to do like the Ninja Warrior and have to, you know, run up the curved wall and grab onto the top. I was confused how they're going to get up there. And then I was like, oh, steps, boring. I just feel like we've seen steps done better. I loved the choice of who was lighting. I liked the figure skating routine of it. But I think the cauldron itself is so ugly. Aww. It reminds me of, it's like, this is just like the robot from Incredibles.
Yeah.
That they have to defeat. Like, that's what it looks like. I think like the arm was unexpected, so points for that. But again, like, ugly. I just think there wasn't like a whole lot to like about this.
Aww.
Compared to, like, I feel like the rest of the ceremony set the bar too high for this. And then I was like, oh, like, yes, we got like a good light and it's definitely better than like future ones. But in terms of better than past ones, I don't think so.
I mean, we haven't mentioned at all, Jared, you touched on it in our initial review of this, that at least the rings all lit up. Obviously, off the back of Sochi, they didn't. And then, of course, Vancouver didn't have one of their cauldrons work. So this is the first opening ceremony for Winter Olympics in, what, 12 years that actually everything worked from what we could see. So positive there. Or maybe they're meant to be four robot penises. I don't know. But, oh, that disappoints me, Jared, that you weren't on board with it that much. So I feel like I don't know where this is going now. Is this even going to make up the 8.5 it needs to become the number one opening ceremony? Maybe not with those opinions. Let's start. I'm gonna go first because I know my score, and therefore we can like drag this out a little bit and make it tense. I'm giving it a 4, and that was before I even knew we were at an 8 point whatever to get away from it. I loved it. I thought it was just modern and great. I love stairs. I love Unikim. I love robot penises. The sparks. The Fortress of Solitude. Nearly perfect marks. But again, I know that there are 5 out of 5 cauldron lightings to come when we get to those ones. So I'm giving it a 4. Let's go with you, Colin.
Like, I was leaning towards a 3, but I think the more we talk about this, and even when we just run down, all that was going on here, I feel like it's too much going on. Like, there's a half a dozen things being thrown at you, and you could have just done one or two things really spectacularly. So I'm gonna deduct half a point. I'm going with a 2.5.
Now, I will also add, when I say we needed an 8, that included all of my score. So actually, technically now, you give it a 2.5, so it can't top, because Jared's not going to give this a 5, and even if you gave it a 5, it's going to end up 1.5 behind Little Hammer anyway. So there's no pressure on you anymore, Jared. I dragged this out for no reason. Jared, what are you giving it?
I also gave it a 2.5.
Oh, mean. Oh, well, okay.
I got past the 8.5, just not the 8.5 that I needed.
Yeah, exactly.
If we'd had the guy sitting in the mecha suit climbing those stairs with the torch, that's a 4.
That's what we would have had in Tokyo had it not been COVID. We'd have a Godzilla, mecha Godzilla coming in, going, lighting. And I was going, that's a mistrick, bloody, again, teasing us, Tokyo. With having your prime minister, may he rest in peace, no longer with us anymore, of course, but like as Mario in the closing ceremony. Like, I can't wait to it. Obviously, when we run out of opening ceremonies, I feel we're going to do the closing ceremony. So they're sometimes the more fun ones. So when we get to that one, Rio might get some high marks. All right. So that brings us to a close of all of that. So basically, I ended up giving Pyeongchang out of 2014. Wow, I didn't imagine that when we said we're doing this. And both of you ended up on 13.5 equal. So there you go.
Wow.
So Pyeongchang ends up with 41 overall. So somehow comes the second highest opening ceremony. Did we honestly, we all rolled our eyes like a month or so ago when we got this after Munich. Colin, did you ever imagine that we would be sitting here with Pyeongchang our number 2 right now after how many have we done? 6 of these right now? That's incredible.
I mean, this is the dark horse. This is the one that we didn't see coming. And even when I was halfway through these opening ceremonies, I'm like, this is better than I expected. And then it just kept getting better and better for the most part. So I'm kind of happy looking back on this now that we actually did this, because would I have ever gone back to revisit the Pyeongchang opening ceremonies? Probably not.
It went by quickly. I agree with you. Like, it's sort of something that you watched. Jared, I mean, anything to add? Again, second highest right now out of the 6 that we've done.
Yeah, I think, like we said earlier, time has been kind to this Olympics. I think it can give a lot of thanks to Tokyo and Beijing for making us a little bit kinder towards it.
Just needed a pandemic to make this one better. So right now, after 6 that we've done, so Lillehammer is still on top, then Pyeongchang. So Winter Olympics are coming out on top right now, followed by Sarajevo. Followed by Calgary. So of the 6 we've done 4 winters and only 2 summers, and our 2 summer opening ceremonies in Rio and Munich are at the bottom. So Rio on a 28 and Munich on a 26, which, as I said, this is the last one we're going to do before Paris, because obviously we've got a few more things to get to before Paris. But as soon as we've done with Paris, we're getting back into this and we're drawing this number right now. So, okay, how this works, andrew.hedges.name/experiments/random is going to generate a number between 1 and 25, and we want one of these to hopefully be in the middle tiers, because we have done an opening ceremony from the 70s. We have done 2 from the 80s. We have done 1 from the 90s. We have done 2 from the 2010s. We technically should have done a 2020s, but we ignored it because it's too soon. But we have done none from the 2000s, the golden era. So, Jared, put out in the universe, what are you feeling right now? What do you want?
Give me Athens.
Give you Athens. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Colin, you like that?
Yeah, I think last time we were all like, oh, let's see Sydney, but I am more leaning to, I was thinking the same thing, Athens. Although going back and doing another one from the 90s could be fun, because now we're talking about Atlanta. I kind of want to see Atlanta.
Yeah.
I also want to see Peter Gabriel. So maybe we get Turin.
I mean, I want to see a Ferrari Formula One car. So if you want Athens, we want 16 here. If you want Turin, you want 17. All right. I'm pressing this. Screen share. I've got a screen share. I keep forgetting this, that you two just apparently...
Yeah, we don't trust you.
Don't believe me.
You can't even
me.
Get your months right when you plan things.
Start on me. It's been a long night. All right. So let's do this. Obviously, we do not want to see number one, number five, number... Just shut up, Ben. Press the button. We're going to get... Number two, Innsbruck. Oh, for fuck's sake. Do we want to
do... We know about Innsbruck.
Do we want to do Innsbruck 1970? It'll be short. Surely it only goes for like an hour.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, let's see.
Why do we keep getting winters and why do we keep getting like old ones? Oh, it's because Colin's old. That's why. Colin, be young. All right, so after Paris, we will do Innsbruck. Hopefully, we can talk about the Paris opening ceremony and it will be good. Coming up, though, here on Off the Podium, go back and listen to our episode that we dropped earlier in the week. 100 days to go to Paris earlier this week, opening ceremony uniforms, interviews, everything. I'd like to say who I got on the show, but I haven't recorded at the time of recording this. Nothing might not have happened. So if there was no episode and you're wondering where it is, just ignore everything that I'm saying right now, but there should be some form of episode up there. Next week, though, Anthony frickin' Nesty. If you don't know who Anthony Nesty is, well, study the Olympics, because you should. He is Suriname's greatest ever Olympian, the only Olympian from that country to ever win an Olympic medal, and he's done it twice, won a gold and a bronze, if you don't mind, and he's now the head coach of USA Team Swimming Men's. So he gave an interview with me, and it's great. You should listen to it, and that's next week. And we will also have a news episode every week starting in May until now in the Paris Olympics, where we'll be bumping it up to 3 episodes a week. Which is great for you two, because you two don't show up to them. I'm doing all the work, but you'll show up to some of them, I'm sure, if you want. Right now, though, just quickly, Jared, less than 100 days to go to Paris. How are you feeling?
I'm excited. I feel like they're going to be good. Expectations are really high, actually. Even for like the opening ceremony, I feel like it's going to be something very different than what we've seen. So looking forward to it.
Colin, because I mean, I asked this because one of the last times maybe all three of us will be together between now and Paris. Obviously, you guys, if you can show up to the news episode, you will be there and we'll do our preview episode, of course. But still, one of the few occasions we'll be all together between now and Paris. Colin, Paris, how's Canada feeling right now? Vibing? Anything exciting coming out from there at the moment?
I'm just going to pause for a second. I'm going to say Innsbruck. Going to be 90 minutes, nice and easy, but I'm just skimming through this and I'm excited. This looks different. Thank you for drawing number two.
That we need to, doesn't to look out for?
Looks pretty militaristic, but it looks different. Most exciting thing is that Penny Oleksiak's working the awards coming back in Paris. So going to have to put my expensive chair aside and get some cheap chairs down here.
But you don't need her. Summer McIntosh is like shitting all over everyone. She just beat Katie Ledecky in the 800 meters. I mean, you're going to win like 8 golds in the pool because of her.
I mean, a chair doesn't work for Summer though. Like, so well, what would be another piece of furniture? What's Summer? Summer's like a nice end table or
deck
something,
chair.
You know? A deck chair, maybe.
Like a lounge chair that you put in the pool chair, you know? Anyway, tune in for all the great stuff. Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok. Jared loves us on TikTok. He can't stop watching it all the time. And get excited. And thanks for tuning into this. Jared, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been fun.
And Colin, appreciate your time as well. Thank you for being not sexist.
And thank you.
Do all the Birmingham Bull stuff and Jason Momoa stuff and all that sort of stuff. If you've enjoyed this episode, my name has been Ben Waterworth, and if you haven't, it's been Noah Groves. Good night. Hey, sexy lady.